We gather together to worship God. What does it mean to worship? Well, basically, it means to ascribe worth, value to someone. In the case of God, we are singing his praises as the Lord of all, ruler of the universe, and we bow in reverence and worship before him. Now it's interesting that there are several words used for worship in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, both those words occur in the same verse. This is the context of the temptation of the Lord when the devil came to try to destroy him, but he could not. And in verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou offer worship service. And there are the two words in the same verse. The first word is always translated simply worship. The second one is, as the King James does, sometimes translated serve. But it's a worship service. It is a service done to God and no one else. And this is a reminder to us all of what we are doing in this world, because we are here to serve God. And that is to worship God. For the proper service is worship of God. I'm going to go through a number of verses and we're going to follow this theme. But here, it is very evident that the Lord Jesus is rebuking Satan, because Satan does not intend to serve God. He does not intend to worship God. He is going to do his worst to destroy the worship and service of God. And the Lord Jesus is absolutely incorruptible. He faces him and gives him the command of Scripture that it is the responsibility of every person to serve and worship God alone. Now, this launches us on a tour through the New Testament in which we're going to look at a number of contexts where this word to serve in worship, worship service, is used. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 37, Anna gave worship service to God with fastings and prayers night and day. Here is this godly woman of great age who is in the temple worshiping God. It is worship and service together. It is worship that serves God, for she was a testimony. Now, that's significant that she was in the right place at the right time to accomplish unique service for the Lord. It was her purpose to accomplish that. In Matthew 4:10 and Luke 4:8, we have Christ's answer to Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou give worship service. So this command is repeated in Luke, underscored. That is not accidental. Nothing is ever repeated in Scripture except by deliberate purpose. In Acts 27 and verse 2, Paul speaks on that voyage to Rome where the storm has been so fierce and the believers there thought they were going to perish. Paul says, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and to whom I render worship service, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Now here is Paul rendering worship service to God. And it's in a boat at sea, in the middle of a storm. Not a very comfortable situation at all. But that was where the providence of God put him. And there he is in the midst of the storm, uttering worship service and praise to God. He was not the least bit intimidated by circumstances. For most of us, we would have been scared to death in those circumstances. Those were not big ocean liners, those were very small boats. And in a rough storm, that was a dangerous trip. Paul was not the least bit worried. He was there worshiping, serving God in the midst of peace and serenity because God was there listening with approval. Friends, we've got to recognize that when the Lord brings us into difficult situations, it is always a test because He is never in difficulty. He is always accomplishing His purpose. And when we find ourselves in the midst of undesirable circumstances, let's say, there should be no fear because God allowed that to happen and His purpose is governing everything that is going on. And in the midst of the storm, so to speak, we can praise God because we are there to provide worship service to God. And nothing can prevent God from receiving it. In Romans 1:9, the Apostle Paul declares, "God is my witness, to whom I give worship service with my spirit in the gospel of his Son." Now here, in a very doctrinal epistle where Paul is teaching justification by faith, he is here declaring a great truth. God is his witness, to whom he is giving worship service. And it is with his spirit in the gospel of his Son. He's preaching the gospel. Souls are being saved. And that proclamation is not in his strength. It is not something that is his idea. He's declaring God's holy word. And he is sure that God is using it to accomplish his purpose. Now, we can look back over all that and see what God did through Paul's faithful proclamation, his worship service that planted churches all over the Mediterranean, that established believers everywhere, sent forth others as missionaries. It was a powerful ministry, and God did it all. And Paul was the instrument in a worship service of God. In 2 Timothy 1:3, Paul says, "I thank God, to whom I give worship service from my forefathers with a pure conscience." Now, when we think of what is going on in the world, all the false religions, the heresies, the cults, they're all worshiping something, but not the true God. They're not doing it according to the teaching of Scripture. And this cacophony of voices addressing false gods and religions that are not true, it looks like it's a mess. But it isn't. God is accomplishing his purpose. He is calling his people out of this wicked world, accomplishing through the preaching of his word the transformation of lives and hearts. And when it's all done, there will be a staggering company of believers in glory who are there to worship and serve God forever, not just for a little while. He is here drawing out these people, training them, commissioning them to serve, and for endless ages they will be doing that. God's plan is never short term. It is always long term. And now in the midst of the wicked world, we struggle and we strive to accomplish good things for God. Sometimes it looks like we fail, but He never fails. Oftentimes our bungling service is still in His hands, something that is going to accomplish His will. Over and over again, a Christian gives a testimony to an unbeliever and sees no result. The unbeliever shrugs it off. And in later years, sometimes, he runs into that person who is no longer an unbeliever. He's a believer. What happened? He planted a seed, and God watered that seed and brought forth His powerful work of grace. So never despair if it looks like your service is not accomplishing much. You don't know what it's doing. All you're doing is planting the seeds. All you're doing is inviting people to come to Christ, to submit to the teaching of the Word. Many times you don't see any fruit at all, but God is not through with that person. Always, it is worthwhile serving Christ. Worship service, not busy work. Some people have the idea they're going to give out 100 tracts, you know. This is their service, and so they're diligent in giving them all out. Well, tracts are powerful instruments, but I like to think that every tract that's given out is prayed over. That tract has no magical purpose in itself. It is the proclamation of the Word. And the Word is what saves. And as you give someone something with that powerful gospel in it, it's a good time to pray. Good time to ask the Lord to take that missile and cause it to lodge in the heart and bring forth eternal fruit. Always, what is going on is worship service for God and His glory, not for ourselves. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, the writer of the Hebrews says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to render worship service to the living God." Hebrews 9:14. Now, here is the Lord Jesus Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself to God. Now, this is an interesting observation that the Trinity is at work here. In the life and ministry of Christ, He was not alone. He was never alone. He was always doing what He was doing in the presence of His Father. It was always the mighty Spirit that was accomplishing the miracles and working through Him. They worked together perfectly. And this is something that we have to learn. Far too often, we try to serve in our own strength. We try to do this and that and the other, and we must always remember that whatever we're doing, God has to take and transform into something useful for Him. It is His presence. It is His power. It is the Word that He has given that is going to achieve the mighty work that He intends. We are just instruments. Worship service. Everything that we do to serve Christ is a matter of worship. And I hope you understand that when you witness to someone. never get the idea that you are persuasive enough to win a soul for Christ. You aren't. But the word that you have, the gospel, is a mighty power of God unto salvation. And as you share that gospel with others, always pray, because it's not your argument that's going to win souls. It's the Spirit of God. If you try to win people by arguing with them, you'll only create resistance. Give them the word, let the word do it. God has to do it. You can't. And we must remember this always, that God is the one who is empowering the work. He takes his word, he uses it to transform lives and hearts. Supernatural power. It is also worship service. And this is an idea that I hope gets a hold of your heart and conscience. As you serve Christ in this world, you are worshiping God. And it's good to continue a conversation with him while you're doing this. When you give a tract out or speak to someone about the Lord, ask the Lord to bless that. Ask the Lord to take that and make it powerful unto salvation. That's his business. He's good at it. You aren't good at arguing people into making a decision. Those kind of decisions rarely last. But when you present the word and God's Spirit touches the heart of the individual and changes that person, it is all of God. You just happen to be the instrument. This is worship service. And we must learn how to think in this category, that what we're doing not with the flesh, gritting our teeth and cranking up courage to do something for God. No, we're putting ourselves in a place where he can use us, where we take the word and give it to someone, and it's the Spirit's business to make that word powerful in the life of that person. When you're talking to someone about the Lord, never let the conversation deteriorate into an argument. You'll never win. Simply present the word. This is what Scripture says. And the Spirit of God gets a hold of the conscience. Now, you may not hear about it, but the Spirit is not through with that person, even though he walks away sometimes with disgust. The Spirit can still get a hold of his heart, still change him by the power of that word. You can't. You couldn't ever. And we must all realize this. Our whole ministry is worship service. It is doing something for Christ by his grace, seeking his empowerment, his guidance, his wisdom. All the power comes from him. You never argue a person into salvation. The Spirit of God either transforms them or does not. And your argument is worth absolutely nothing. It's the word that does it. This is what Scripture says. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Spirit of God uses that to convict and to convert. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, verses 28 and 29, wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may render worship service to God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now, the writer of the Hebrews is teaching a great truth here. We have received a kingdom because we've received the King. The Lord Jesus is King over the kingdom of God. And when we receive him, we put ourselves under his authority. Now we're serving him, and it is worship service, for he is God. And what we're doing is in the sight of God, worshiping him. But it's also serving as a witness, as a testifier of what we have learned in Scripture. And so, we serve God acceptably when it is with reverence and godly awe. Now, this is something that we must recognize as believers. Our service for God is a tremendous privilege, a tremendous opportunity. And I've heard young believers who were flippant in the way they give out tracts or talk to people about the Lord. They've got so many people to reach and they're rattling it off. But we have to recognize that whatever we're doing, we should do with reverence and a godly awe, because we're just a tool. We're just a servant. God has to do the work. We can't cause it to be done. We can't empower the testimony at all. We can simply give it. And he must take that and transform it into something eternally powerful. Now, friends, when you witness for the Lord, never get the idea that you have to be persuasive and argumentative and all that. No, you just open the Word and tell them what the Word means and explain to them the love of God in Christ. It's the Spirit that takes that testimony and transforms it into a spiritual dart into the heart of that person. You can't arrange that. That's something he has to do. So whenever you talk to someone about the Lord, remember, it is worship service. You're worshiping God by talking about his Word, by explaining it to someone who needs to know the power of the gospel. It is there. Now, it is significant in his comment at the end of verse 29, "For our God is a consuming fire." Friends, we must realize that the power of God is very real. And when you talk to somebody about the Lord, you're not talking as an ordinary individual. You're talking as a representative of the God you love and worship and reverence. And that God is fully able to accomplish his purpose through your humble testimony. He is able to take you as an instrument and use you to accomplish his eternal purpose. God is a consuming fire. Fire is energy. And that is what God is. He is power, energy. And when we put ourselves in the pathway of his will, when we take his Word and explain to someone, this is the truth of God, now we're setting him on fire. The presence of God is that consuming fire to transform, to change. And he does it all. We can't do any of it. We have no such power. But he has all the power needed to accomplish his purpose. And we are worshipers who serve. Now we must let that grip our hearts, because no one has the power to accomplish God's will. God has to impart that power. And when we ask for it and let him do it through us, we have divine power at work in us. Now some of you are saying to yourself, well, still, you know, I just don't have the courage to do this or that. Well, of course not. God has all the courage you need. He has all the power you need. He has all the ability that you need. Let him do it. He has to do it. Friends, worship service is learning how to accomplish the will of God by letting him do it. Getting rid of the idea that I am important, that I can do this, that I can accomplish these things, and step out of the picture completely. It's God's will. It's God's Word. It's God's work. He can do it all. All you have to do is open up the book and let it speak. The Word is powerful. The Word imparts to people that power of God. And he can take that Word and transform lives, regenerate souls, break the chains of sin. He has all power in heaven and earth. And we don't. We are poor, humble servants who are simply here to provide worship service for people. In Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4, John sees the consummation of all this magnificent revelation. And he hears these words, "There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall render worship service to him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." There is the goal. There is the victory. It is not a temporary one. It is an eternal victory. These saints are now glorified in the presence of God. They see his face, the transforming presence of God. And his name shall be in their forehead, his character stamped upon their very visage. That's the goal. That's where believers are going, to that presence of God, where they shall be transformed completely into servants of God by his power and by his grace to accomplish his will forever. It is not a short-term thing. And what we're going through in this life is service in the midst of difficulties. It is struggling with opposition. But always, he is the answer. It is his power that is going to break the chains. It is his grace that is going to set us free. It is his love that will transform us into servants of Christ that will serve not merely here in time, but for all eternity. And the service is always going to be worship service. That's what life is all about. That's what eternity will be. Endless ages of worship service. And God will be pleased. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. In this quiet moment, maybe you have been struggling with something, wrestling with opposition, and it's been hard to pray. Can you put yourself before God as the humble servant, one who is prepared to obey whatever he wants? And ask him to take you and use you that you might render worship service, not just for a few years here, but forever and forever. O Lord, we ask that thou wilt help us to understand our position as humble servants, and by thy grace, to let thee use us as instruments of blessing and benefit to others. Help us to understand that our service is always worship service, done for thy glory, done by thy power, and done with thy blessing to honor thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Give us that grace and that privilege, for Jesus' sake. Amen.